Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. I'm Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, chief TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jason.
Wow, fantastic. That's even better than usual.
Yeah, I am just loving everything that I see on TV. Everything.
Really, TV is just a wonderful world of great stuff and nothing bad ever.
Well, I have these bottles of pills I've been taking, and that may have...
Don't drive, don't operate heavy machinery.
Is that a problem? I just keep picking them by color.
Do they have a sticker on the side that says you must watch TV while taking these pills?
Yes, TV is better. Take these.
Yeah.
I've had some ups and lows. Ups and lows.
Yeah,
that's sure. There's the title of the series of this podcast. Ups and lows.
Ups and lows. Done. We can just sign off now. Let me read the numbers. Yeah, here we go.
I'm pretty sure we're not going to top that.
The tightest and brightest of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So there is some stuff. I got lots of letters to go through, but there is still some stuff going on. We'll start with me. I don't know if this is an up or a low, but making history. So there's two time travel shows coming. Back when we were talking about the season, there are a couple broadcast time travel shows that were on the way but weren't quite ready for the fall. And here they are on Sunday night. There's Making History, which you reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's
there's
a low.
It's a low. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also a...
It's called Time After Time.
Time After Time. It's like based on the book as the movie was, I guess. But that's more of a drama, and Dan reviewed that one. So
yeah, and according to Metacritic, it's even a lower.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, tell me about Making History. What's the deal?
Yeah, I didn't like Making History at all. Where do we start? The simple part of it, if you can put quotations around that. It's basically, let's go to it the circuitous way. It's like Timeless with more humor, but not as good as the humor that's already in Timeless.
Oh.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, so here's what the story is. There's a guy who works in the maintenance department at a Massachusetts college. And by the time we meet him, this is part of the problem. The pilot makes you think that you've already missed two episodes. And I don't think that's a really good pilot when that happens. Like, I literally went back a couple times and said, I think they mislabeled this can't be the pilot. And I was like, I kept clicking on other episodes to see if they would, you know, clear things up. So we have, when we meet this person, his name's Dan, he's already traveled back in time into Lexington and has got a girlfriend back there. He's dating Paul Revere's daughter. That's Leighton Meester.
Mm-hmm.
And his name, Dan, is Adam Paley. And and so he's already going back to time. So, like, when you start it, you're like, wait, what? Like, he goes back and then he meets a history professor at the school. He says, I got to take you back with me in time. And you're thinking, what? And they go in his house and there's all this stuff that looks like it's from a previous episode, and it's very, very confusing. And but they don't bother explaining how the time travel works, which I applauded that because I said, okay,
sure.
The show is so stupid that were you to explain how this would be, it would just not be very funny. And in general, what it is, they get into a large duffel bag and they go back in time.
Mm.
Things go and smoke comes out and they go back in time.
I kinda
better
like
to
that.
Not explain that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't actually mind a pilot. I've said this before. I don't mind a pilot that just isn't a standard episode of a show because you're trying to show what the show will be when you're deciding whether to pick it up or not. But if that is your pilot, then shouldn't you then produce an episode to air before it that explains the premise? I don't know.
Right.
That's a little weird.
It was, I found it confusing. Mm. Worse, I found it not funny.
Yeah, that's the, yeah.
That's a real struggle. So, you know, there's a lot of potential there, right? Anytime you're totally familiar with this. Part of the problem of these shows is that they squander all this potential. I mean, if you're going to shift between worlds, you can do a lot of things. And a show like Making History, which has no rules, basically, they don't want you to think about the time travel rules because then that would make them stick to it. And they'd rather just do like, hey, let's bring Deborah from, you know, from the past, Paul Revere's daughter, and bring her into 2016. Yeah. And then she's going to live there, and that won't mess up the timeline at all because we fixed it when we went back. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, so whatever. It's a little bit galling in that way. But the struggle with it is not funny. And, I think the potential could have been there. For example, they want you to think that Dan is kind of a loser in the present, but when he goes back in the past, he's kind of a stud because he can like romance Paul Revere's daughter Deborah by singing her pop songs and saying funny lines from movies. So they're using all this pop culture stuff to, which of course has already been used in Timeless and other shows. And the problem is, it's not funny when he does it. So I really struggled with it. There would be one mildly amusing scene followed by like three or four terrible scenes. In fact, there's one where the Chris, who is the history professor at the college, and that's Yasser Lester is the actor who does that, who's very good, actually. He's very serious. And he goes back in time, young guy, he goes back in time, and he's, of course, blown away by it. And he thinks, oh, here's the founding fathers in this bar. I'm gonna rouse them to start this revolution by doing this speech. So he starts the speech, and then everybody gets booed down. And as they're heckling him, Dan, the guy who has the time machine, says, oh, just tell them lines from movies. And so he starts doing a bunch of really bad movie lines, and you're like, oh, this is wince-inducing. And the joke ends with him trying to do show me the money jokes. But how old is that movie? So, like, show me the money jokes. And then that's quickly followed by a scene where he's drinking the piss of the founding fathers. And that's supposed to be funny?
20-year-old joke.
Yeah. And then that's 20-year-old joke. And then he's drinking the piss of the founding fathers out of a piss pot because he doesn't know what a piss pot is. And that's a terrible joke.
Wow.
And yeah, and then one of the founding fathers says, I'm about to go down to the creek and sip some of this golden water and then catch a parasite and, quote, diarrhea my weekend away. And I was like, okay, a diarrhea joke, a piss joke, a joke about show me the money. Like, you're really squandering your chances here. So, and then if you think this line is funny, they're trying to back out of it. This has been done a million times. In fact, this was done on Timeless. So, the history professor is an African American. That's the actor Yasser Lester. And Adam Paley is the other one. So they're backing out of Paul Revere's shop, and they say, he says, "Okay, all right, we're leaving. We're leaving." He says, "Okay, I'm Tom Cruise. This is Magic Johnson, and we're the Blues Brothers." I was like, "Okay, Tom Cruise, Magic Johnson." And the Blues Brothers. That doesn't even make sense. It's not even funny, but it doesn't make sense. So that's what you're getting in this show, which I'm sure now no one will ever watch the show, as they should. I mean, I want to scare you away. But like, I think the frustration for me was, and I watched almost three episodes, I couldn't get to the third episode, was, wow, okay, so you're going to have no rules so that you could actually do dumb stuff like this, and then you're going to give us not very funny content. So I don't know what to tell you.
Wow. So everybody should tune in on Sunday night for Making History. Tim says, thumbs up.
And Time After Time is also bad. So I don't know. And that's a Kevin Williamson remake. So, yeah. And of course, it has Jack the Ripper. Kevin Williamson's last outing was The Following, which was that horrifically violent series. So, yeah, not a whole lot of good stuff going on Sunday.
All right. So more bad time travel. I will see what I can do about watching time travel shows, but I may not. I
would tell you to just completely skip History, because I think that's not, it's just a waste of your time.
Well, a future version of myself has come back in time to tell me not to watch these shows. How about that?
That is good. I will just put in also, because our listeners, I did not review this one, but just a reminder that the new Ryan Murphy series on FX, Feud, Betty and Joan, it starts on Sunday as well. So there you go.
Oh,
it's another anthology series.
Ryan Murphy. Well, I'll tell you what. If you like Ryan Murphy shows, you should check into it, because he has a kind of show that he makes.
Yeah.
I am not interested in shows that he makes. But
no, and it's funny, too, because the OJ thing was really good. And this one is much, you know, he didn't. Yeah, he's he didn't write that one. So this one's back to being much more his thing. It's more like an American Horror Story, but in a campy feud between two celebrities. And
right.
pretty much you really have to love that kind of thing. I think the positive reviews on the show were from people who really wanted to see all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to see any of it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass on it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. The Americans comes back. Season 5 and last.
Season 5, well, no, not last.
No?
No,
oh, no, 6. Oh, they're doing that thing. They renewed it for two seasons. The last season is next year. So this is just season 5.
Yes.
11 episodes.
This is going to be, yeah, I can't remember.
13 episodes, something like that. And then there are 10 episodes next year.
Yeah, I think it's 10, and then there's, I don't know how it goes.
I don't know.
I'll go back and
look at it. We don't have to say goodbye to the Americans yet.
No, no, not at all.
We get to say hello to another season of the Americans. Hello, comrade.
Yeah, no, it is, this is not breaking news. It's really great.
I'm shocked. Still good, huh? Still getting it done.
Still great, and the struggle that I have, like, and I've been, I kind of have tried to bring this up with people at THR, and is that, and I know they want it, and I know why they want it. But the trouble with trying to review something in its fifth season is you're only going to get people who love it already. Because if you're not watching it by the fifth season, then you've missed the boat, or you're back now watching season 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
or 4.
That's where I am, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching old seasons.
Listen to me. Yeah. So you're not going to read this review. And if you are a fan like I am, you are going to come to this very dubious that you might be spoiled on something really important. And no one wants to be spoiled on anything on The Americans. So the struggle is when a show is really great and it's a spy series that has, you don't want to spoil anything. All you can really do is say it's back and it's great. You can't say, hey, and then, Philip and Elizabeth do the thing. And people are like, no, don't say anything.
Yeah.
So I find it a struggle to write those kind of reviews because, but I also understand why outlets want those reviews. They're like, yes, tell us that it's still great, but don't tell us anything about it. So, yeah, it's challenging as a critic. Let's put it that way.
We should mention, we talked about it last week, but National Treasure, the British series starring Robbie Coltrane, premiered on Hulu, so people can check that out, and you liked that.
I did really like it, and I finally finished the 4 episodes. It's a really quick run through it, and we should say again, in case we haven't said this enough, that National Treasure has nothing to do with Nick Cage, so or his film franchise of the same name. So this was a British import, and it's really good. And it stars Robbie Coltrane. It's basically about a sort of really famous celebrity who, in the twilight of his career, is like, in this case, he's being accused of rape, and then other things come out. Obviously, on this side of the pond, we're going to think about Cosby. And on the other side of the pond, there was a famous
Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, Jimmy Savile who had a lot of. The people that he was. He died before it all came out. I mean, he was managed to suppress it because people didn't want to believe it because he was too popular at the time, much like Cosby. But when he died, it came out that he had really abused people, sexually abused people from like age 5 to 75. So it really spanned. I mean, it was just. Insane. Pretty awful. And so I think this is a jumping off point for Jack Thorne, who's the writer of it, who's fantastic and has done so many really great things, to come up with an idea of like, okay, let's take this idea kind of a rip from the headlines, but let's give it a little bit of nuance. And I think he crafts a really tight, compelling 4 hours. So you can get through it. You can find some really exceptional acting. And I kind of liked that even though you kind of think you know where it's going, there's just enough doubt. And then there's a little, he throws a pebble in the water and it like reverberates that you start to discover more and more about this person. And it was good. I endorse that.
All right. So not much else going on. So I've got a lot of letters here. From listeners.
Yeah, there's not much going on. We're taking a little break until April, and April is a nut house.
Well, I'm relieved because I've got a lot of shows that are just on the boil now. I'm the with with just between your Legion and Expanse and the Magicians and Humans, that alone, that's like four really good shows that are just kind of bubbling along, that are in their, you know, 10-week run or 12-week run, whatever it is. So I'm happy that there's not more coming back quite yet. In April, yeah, there's a much more coming back too. Doctor Who's coming back in April too.
Yeah, there's a ton. I feel your pain on that. And I would say though that I think one thing that has changed, just want to throw this in there as an aside, one thing that's changed from on my end as a critic is that if I post something a little later, you know, if I post it something like day of, as opposed to like 2 weeks in advance or 7 days in advance, it doesn't really matter anymore. It used to be like you wanted to be first, and I know THR still wants to be first on a lot of stuff. That's why we review things out of festivals, world premieres, etc. But I think that logic is flawed these days because there's this glut that you just talked about and we talk about all the time on the show. No one's really going to watch. So, like, I put National Treasure up on Monday, the day it came out. But no one is – I don't think very many people raced over to Hulu to start watching it on Monday. I think that they'll put it on their list and they'll get to it.
You don't need to, right? I mean –
no.
You don't need to.
It's all there. You don't have to remember to record it. That's one of the benefits of a streaming service. It just sits there for you. It's like a DVR. And, but I've felt that lately that putting something up late, quote unquote, is less of an impact than it used to be for us as writers.
Well, I would even argue that putting something up before you can watch it is a harder sell, because then you have to remember to record it. You have to remember wherever you are to like go to your DVR and set it to record or whatever. Whereas if it's premiering or has already premiered, if it's streaming, it's super easy. But even if it's network or something, you've got on demand. There are so many ways. Like if you find a review of a show that already premiered, you used to be out of luck. You just have to watch the next episode. And that's not true anymore. Like, I think it's maybe shifted the other way where now it might be even more preferable to have it when it's already available than when you have to remember to at some point in the future watch the show.
Oh, no doubt about it. In fact, one of the things that I was trying to point out to people at THR is that the one show in recent memory that I reviewed that had like I just could not get, there was like no traction at all on any social media. Nobody retweeted it. No one talked about it. No one said. Very few people even clicked on it and said they liked it. Like, it was, no one wanted to even know about it. And it has Jill Soloway attached from Transparent. You would think that that would be enough, but it was I Love Dick, the TV series that's coming to Amazon. And it's just like, it premiered at Sundance like months in advance. And so we reviewed it back in January and no one cared. Like, no one.
Yeah, those festival ones are the worst, right? Because it's hey, in 3 months you can see a TV show. Like, great. That's great.
Nobody cares.
Nobody, that's not. Well, in fact, I would say the big one for me is like 10 days or so is my DVR's limit in terms of data. So if I read about something more than 10 days in advance, I can't even, like, sometimes when we're doing this podcast, I will open my phone up and open the TiVo app up and search for the show and just say, record it, right?
Wow.
But if you go far enough in advance, you can't even do that. And that's asking, even that behavior is too much. Really, people just need to remember, like, when they're standing in front of their DVR to record it. But I don't know. Let's take a break and then we will do some emails. I've got two things that are not sponsors to tell you about this time.
Okay. I'm excited.
Non-sponsor.
Though.
So the first one is, this is the time of year when we remind everybody who's listening about how you can support TV Talk Machine by becoming a member of The Incomparable. You can sign up for a monthly or annual pledge to support this podcast directly. It's pretty simple to do it. You go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. You'll be asked, after you pay and you can pledge at different levels, I think it's $5, $10, or $20 a month, or there's annual equivalents. You'll then be asked to pick the shows on the network you'd like to support. And if you just want to support TV Talk Machine, just check the TV Talk Machine box. It's a good box to check. Check that box.
And
your entire contribution after a few fees are taken out will come to TV Talk Machine. So you don't have to, if you don't listen to anything else on the network, that's fine. Just check the box for TBTM. If you do listen to other podcasts on the network, you can kind of roll it all together, check their boxes, and it'll all be evenly split across all the podcasts that you want to support. As a thank you for supporting the network and all the shows on it, members will receive a bunch of extras. You get access to bonus audio, special bonus shows, shows, a live bootleg feed of The Incomparable. There's a members-only Slack group where we talk about all sorts of stuff, including television. And since this is pledge season, this month many of the shows on the network will be posting bonus episodes just for members, including before this one began, we planned out what our TV Talk Machine bonus is going to be. And we're going to record that next week. So,
and it's fantastic.
It's going to be amazing. So anyway, $5, $10, and $20 per month levels with annual equivalents if you want to support. If you're already a member, thank you for being a member. You will get those bonus episodes. Thank you for supporting the podcast. And if you want to increase your pledge to a higher level, you'll get some special goodies in return at the higher levels. There's this year's supporting members got a sticker pack, I think, at $10 and a t-shirt at $20 that may be a little bit different for the next year's worth of members, but something nice will come if you want to increase your membership. So if you'd like to support us, go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. Thank you for considering that. Also, the other way that we're supported is by advertising. And if you want to help us out there, this is what you do. You go to podsurvey.com/TV-talk-machine. And you basically take a quick anonymous survey that lets the people who sell our ads know who listens to this show. You know, you listen to this show and you know demographics are important. They want to know how awesome the listeners are, and you are awesome. So by getting that data, then our advertiser, the sales force, can go out and say, look at how beautiful the TV Talk Machine audience is. They're smart and educated and rich and fantastic, and they're the best. And then they sell great ads, and that's good for us too. And when you're finished with the survey, actually, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. So there is something in it for you too, potentially. If you can put your name in for that. You can't win if you don't play. So go to podsurvey.com/TV-talk-machine. And thank you very much for that. And neither of those things are actual ads, but there are ways that you can help support what we do.
And you'll have links to those, I'm assuming?
They will also be in the show notes. So if you go to theincomparable.com/TVTM/121, you can get them. But the easiest thing to do is just go to theincomparable.com/members.
What level of contribution is it where I am required to go out and give everybody a hug? Which one's that?
I think it's $5 a month if you want to be a member, and $10 a month if you don't want Tim to give you a hug.
Wow. I didn't even just walk right into that didn't I?
So the levels are the robot, the Zeppelin, and the superhero. We're going to need like a super, super, superhero, kind of like Planet Buster, for the personal hug from Tim.
Yeah, the hug. Let's hug it out.
I'll guarantee you, if you're a member and you come up to Tim at one of our meetups and say, I'm an Incomparable member, he will give you a hug.
I will. A hug and a kiss. I'm very huggy. I'm very, surprisingly, given how prickly a personality I am, I'm very huggy and kissy.
Well, that's how you counteract. Like, your words cut.
Yes.
But then your emotions radiate.
I trick people. It makes them think that I actually like other people. It's really beautiful. It's a really beautiful con.
It's a long con.
My hugging
it's a long
con.
Game. The hug, yeah, that's right. That's right. Your hug is a hug of lies.
A hug of lies. Ooh, perhaps another potential title.
All right, I'll write it
down.
Okay. I'll write it down. Okay, here's some letters.
Yep.
James says, greetings from the sunny 859.
Ooh, but is it?
Yeah. Do I type in 859 area code weather? It's central Kentucky.
Okay.
So I'm going to type Lexington, Kentucky weather. It is sunny. It is 37 degrees and sunny in the 859. Well done, James. At least it's sunny, right? Go with your strengths.
Yeah. Celsius.
So Apple is getting into the TV business, it seems. I'm a little discouraged by their first offering, which looks like a Shark Tank ripoff about making apps. It looks like you could put it on regular network TV and it would fit right in. But think about programming the other streaming services have, like Stranger Things or Transparent or Catastrophe. It's that it's not what you'd see on regular TV. Maybe Apple Music TV or whatever has better stuff coming, but it's definitely not a good start. My opinion on this is that, yeah, it's a little bit weird. At the same time, Fuller House is also on Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon's got a detective show that's a very standard CBS Bosch, right? There's conventional stuff on streaming too. It sounds to me like Apple saw that this show was in development. Ben Silverman was doing it, and they just decided to buy it. So it's not even like it was their idea. I think maybe they felt like it's perfect for us because it's about app developers. But yeah, you know, it's not my favorite genre either. What do you think about Apple doing TV stuff?
Yeah, I think they shouldn't. Yeah, I really don't.
We don't need it. No more.
We don't need it. We're good. We got this. We got this, Apple.
Yeah.
You know, you just, like I said before, you make me a TV that's cutting edge, I'll take that. I want the hardware.
Yeah.
I want the iPod version of a TV. But I think the point being made is probably that, like, of all the shows that they could have started with, the first one, like, I don't mind that there's some other not very good stuff exists on other streaming services, but pretty much every time those ones launched, they launched with something pretty strong or right. classy or whatever. And this is kind of like, oh, you are launching with an unscripted reality show.
A junky reality show.
A ripoff of Shark Tank. So mm-hmm. I wish that there was more ambition in the Apple one. So that's all.
It's not my favorite idea either. And the clip for it shows that they're going to do what's called the escalator pitch, which I guess really shows that we're in the Trump era. Coming down escalators is now a big deal. And literally they just get the people at the top of the escalator and they have to pitch over the side of the escalator to the people sitting down below before they reach the bottom. Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh, well, that's... I hope people enjoy it. I don't think I'm interested in that any show like that.
Not interested in that at all.
All right. Here is one from... this is actually a little bit of follow-up from last week. We had that letter writer who asked about watching The Wire from Baltimore, and we said you could get it on HBO. Just sign up for HBO Go or HBO Now, and you would get it. David and Jonathan both wrote in to quite rightly point out that part of HBO's deal with Amazon for older HBO content means that The Wire is available on Amazon Prime Video as well. So if you wanted, you could sign up for that instead. And I think that's a little cheaper. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you've got The Wire. You can watch it already. So you don't even need to pay HBO directly. You can watch that older HBO material using Amazon Prime Video. So that's a good tips by David and Jonathan. Thank you for writing in about that. I tweeted back at our original questioner, and I think she got the message. So that was good, too, because I didn't want to lead her down the garden path. Yeah, this is the thing. It's HBO made this deal with Amazon. Yeah, sorry to be so useful, but there it is. There's older. If you haven't watched the older HBO stuff, you don't even need to sign up for HBO because it's all on Amazon now.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Let's see what else we heard from the bottle episode again. Our friend in the +44.
Yep.
Saying, so Spotify apparently does podcasts, but only a few select ones. Trying to find TVTM, I came across this, and he sent us a link to an album cover for the album High Centered on Love by Jason Snell. This is the bluegrass artist from the Midwest that is one of the Jason Snells who are out there. It shows him wearing a hat, holding a guitar in front of a creek, I'm going to say, with a girl standing in it.
I love it. That's exactly how I imagine you.
It's pretty much it, yeah. That's pretty much it. So thank you to the bottle episode for that. He said, I was going to suggest a small section of the podcast where Tim suggests music for listeners to listen to. To replace the gaping hole left by the Dean travel update. But I think we found our first suggestion, High Centered on Love.
And by the way, there is a Tim Goodman who is a musician as well. So we could have a whole thing where we listen to... Well, no, we wouldn't do that, but that's very funny.
Oh my God.
You reviewed the Jason Snell music. I reviewed the Tim Goodman music.
I think we'd have to do the reverse.
Yeah,
really.
That's true. Huh?
And because then I could say, Tim Goodman's work is terrible and... You could say, I don't like bluegrass, but Jason Snell, actually pretty good. See? I'm sure that's how it would go, right? That's totally how it would go.
That is exactly how it would go.
Thank you, bottle episode.
That's good. Now it has me thinking.
James from Massachusetts tweeted at us, please don't binge The Wire. OMG, please don't binge The Wire. It's like a fine wine. Savor every sip. Also, binging is dumb. Although with two young kids, I do like watching shows on my timetable. Now, I responded to James on Twitter, and what I said was, I think nobody should police how other people choose to enjoy their entertainment.
Oh.
Which is, that's the thing, is like, I can see the argument that you shouldn't binge something like The Wire, but I do think that there's a value judgment in there that I don't like. Like, if watching TV in a binge works for them, let them do it. Let people do what they want. I personally felt like I needed a break after an episode of The Wire because it was so intense.
Yeah, I couldn't.
So I don't prescribe a binge for The Wire, but if you know what, if that's how you want to enjoy it, more power to you. I don't have anything fundamentally against a binge. I think that a binge in some ways can be good, but depending on the show.
Yeah, I don't think binging is stupid in general. I think it's just whatever works for you. Like, I definitely don't like to binge dramas because I don't have that much time and patience. But I definitely tore through, like, Catastrophe, the whole season, and Fleabag. It's just easy to go through those ones. And to be honest, when I watched National Treasure, they're only, like, they were built, I guess, for commercials over in the UK, which is kind of surprising because they were all about 46 minutes. So it's pretty easy to get through two of those. And there's only four total. So you could binge that in a weekend pretty easily.
Yeah. Jason from Lawrence, Kansas wrote in for the 785 to say, as ever, still enjoying the show. Even when I don't agree with your take, you're informative and entertaining. Am I on a Nemesis track? Or if I'm on a Nemesis track, do I need to change my name to Alan? Jason, yes, you do. You have to become an Alan or an Allen or an Allen or, Ellen. You could be something in that ballpark, though. Yeah, anyway, the reason I'm writing today, do any of the platforms or channels out there still do shows like Anything But Love, Mad About You, or Dharma and Greg? What I mean is there a single show anywhere that's just about a couple? Not a family or a group of friends, just those two. They meet in the pilot. They fall in love or are already together when the show starts. We see a show about their lives. Is Two Broke Girls as close as we get anymore?
Wow.
Basically, it's a question about like the romantic comedy sitcom. There have been a few attempted.
Sure. In fact, the second season of Love comes back this week, I think on Friday. Next Friday? I don't know. So it's I didn't like it. I didn't like the first season, and I don't like the second season. But it's a Judd Apatow thing, and that's just a straight ahead. I mean, it's not like a old school sitcom, which is a multi camera. It's a single camera. There's no laugh track. It's a little dark, and unhappy, I guess. Yeah. Oh man! But anyway, I think they're out there.
Yeah, I think there are some, although the ones that have been tried lately have been less successful. I know that there was at least one last year that I can't remember the name of it now, but last year there was one that was like right dead on romantic comedy couple meets kind of thing, but it flopped. So
you could also say that, like, I mean, in some ways, Catastrophe. Is that
Catastrophe is that it's a little rougher edge of a show, but it totally is about that couple meeting and being together.
Yeah. So I mean there's
it's still out there.
Are those shows out
there? Keep hope alive, Jason. Just look harder. They're out there.
Yeah.
And if only we could remember the names of them, we would
tell
you.
Right. I'm clearly brain dead that among this
all right. Well,
peak TV damage.
Listeners, write in if you've got a recommendation for Jason of a romantic comedy sitcom. So about a couple, not a family or a group of friends, and they meet and then it's a comedy. So in the Mad About You camp, that's I'd be interested to see if what the modern equivalent of that is.
The podcast with an expert who makes you do the work.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, this is brilliant.
That is how we earn our title as TV
that's
Talk Machine. That is the most OG thing we have ever done, is outsource the work to the listeners.
That is true. That is so OG.
Charles from the 205 wrote in to say, I'm curious if you've had the chance to watch the OA on Netflix. It forces the audience to make their own conclusions on many complex issues without any clear vision as to what it is, right or wrong, or real or fake. I have not been more excited by the psychology behind a series since The Leftovers. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Me neither. And I've heard people rave about it, but I've heard a lot of people who did not like it, and so it scared me away from it. Honestly, it's just even a little in tech, we call that fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD. But even a little FUD in these times of confusion is enough to steer me away from a show if there's some other show that people are more positive about. So yeah. I've heard some interesting things about it being challenging and weird and interesting, and I just have not gone back to it.
I heard that and I thought, ooh, God, I got to get on that since it wasn't me who reviewed it. And then I heard people say, and then it completely falls apart at the end. And I thought, back burner, that sucker.
Yeah, see?
Putting it on the back burner.
doesn't take a lot, right? It takes a little bit. Okay, so this one made me laugh. I don't have the name of this person, but they're from. This is from one of our fine simultaneous worldwide listeners.
In Australia?
It was Ben. It's from Ben Elson. Okay. No, he's I think he's a European listener, but anyway, he says on Patriot, Luxembourg looks an awful lot like Prague. Thinking face emoji. Is this how Americans feel about Vancouver trying to pass for U.S. cities? Ben says he's from the +352 right now, but currently in the 49. What's the 352 country code? So 352. Oh, in Luxembourg. Okay, so this is from Luxembourg. Currently source. In Germany. So he says that looks an awful lot like Prague. My answer for Ben is simple. Yeah, That's exactly it. Every time exactly one of us people from San Francisco saw Monk, and we're like, that is Vancouver, sir.
Yeah, that's Vancouver. Yeah. And in fact, you can say that you can say that's Vancouver or that's Toronto a lot when you watch TV right now.
Oh yeah, Orphan Black is another one where it's like Toronto. I see you.
It's fun. Yeah, like it's all over and it, Vancouver everywhere.
Yeah,
there's something to the. I can spot that Vancouver.
Oh man,
/ Toronto architecture. So Canadian architecture, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Fine Canadian architecture. Yeah, yeah. You know,
I like the ones in. I've never been to Toronto, but I do like the ones in Vancouver a lot.
I've been to Vancouver a few times, so it's kind of fun because I'm like, I've been on those steps. There's this one place they use all the time. It's like a plaza, but it's sunken, and there's steps down to it, and it's kind of by the water. And I've seen that in the X-Files and Travelers and Continuum and Stargate, and I mean, everything. I'm sure it's been in Monk too. If I'd watched enough Monk, I would have seen it there. There are only so many places in Vancouver. And then there's actually, I'll share with you a thing that made me laugh. I was on the one of the other Incomparable podcasts last week. It was the TV podcast about The Flash. And they went to the heart of deepest, darkest Africa to go to Gorilla City on a parallel universe, which is where super intelligent gorillas live. It's The Flash. Just go with it. But when they land there, you discover that although everything looks kind of yellowy gold as if it's supposed to be hot, because it is Africa, it's just an evergreen forest in Vancouver. I'm like, oh, nice. The redwoods of Africa. Excellent. Good job, Flash.
Nice.
But, you know, you just got to go with it. It's Vancouver. It's just, it is what it is. It's fine.
Now I'm intrigued to see, to wonder out loud, how much more expensive is it to shoot in Prague or in Luxembourg than Prague?
Luxembourg's really small, and I think it maybe is pretty expensive, and they probably don't have much of a TV industry there. So it's probably, I mean, the stuff gets, film and TV gets made in Prague all the time. I have a friend who's, name dropping here, but a friend of mine is a comic book writer, Anthony Johnston, and he there's a movie coming out. It's actually going to, I think, premiere at South by Southwest that's based on a comic he wrote, based on a graphic novel he wrote. And it's set in East Berlin, but I believe they shot it in Prague. I believe that's where they shot it. I think Prague is kind of the Vancouver of Europe. Honestly.
That is interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, apparently, but this is it. So I love that because we don't know. We Americans look at Patriot and we're like, sure, Luxembourg, fine.
Sure, that's exactly what I said. Luxembourg.
If they tried to shoot that Luxembourg in Vancouver, we might have pointed at the TV. So no.
But if that's Canada. You cannot.
If you want to make it feel European in North America, you got to go to Montreal. That's where you shoot. If you want to fake Europe in America, Montreal feels more European. So Matthew Z wrote in to say, no mention of The Missing on Stars. We loved it in the 925. You know anything about The Missing on Stars?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan of The Missing, and it was my goal to review Missing season 2. And then this might become as a gigantic surprise to everybody. I became overwhelmed with too much other television and wasn't able to do it.
Didn't get a shot at it.
Yeah. Newer, fresher, I don't know, sexier things took precedent.
This is sort of my reaction too, which is the number of shows we don't mention vastly outnumbers the number of shows that we do. It's just how it is.
No question about it.
So, but there's a shout out to The Missing season 2. Couldn't get to it. All right, Andrew in Ireland wrote in, our buddy, classic.
He love said, to your mothers.
He said, would be interested in your views on the ABC miniseries When We Rise and whether you think the timely arrival is worth the hype or if it's a flash in the pan. I don't even know what this is.
It's Dustin Lance Black's series, and I think, and I didn't review it. I think it got pretty good reviews, and but yeah, it's one of those ones. I wasn't one at the THR who reviewed it, but yeah, it's, well, look, Andrew, it's like a lot of things that that's out there that are out there. They just get lost in the pile. But I do think that that got pretty good reviews. I ended up not getting assigned to do it or didn't pick it in one of the two. And so I just, when it's not in front of me, I don't pay attention.
Looks like it's streaming now on ABC.com for people who are in the U.S. and want to go watch it. And it is a period piece about the history of the gay rights movement after Stonewall. So people should check it out. So again, it's in the answer of too much TV and we don't talk to it all. By the way, Andrew says, as an aside, I saw the Oscars faux pas, of course, the mistake of they announced the wrong Best Picture winner of all the awards too. And he said, I thought of Bill Walton's voice, such as the influence of the previous incarnation of the TVTM. Brutal. You can't take the wrong envelope out there.
What are you doing?
Coach Wooden said, be prepared. Oh, terrible.
Be quick. Don't hurry.
That's right. Anyway, love to your mothers. They're all award winners, Andrew.
Oh boy. Everybody else is like, what are those crazy voices? And Andrew's like, okay.
That's the old TVTM.
Brings them back. Uh-huh.
All right, Slacker Incorporated on Twitter says, since Tim said no network drama is worth his time, I don't think, did you really say that?
Pretty much.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's right. Yeah, that's right, he's a bad person. I'm appealing to him to give a chance to one episode of the only network drama I watch. My currently favorite airing dramas are The Americans, Fargo, and Better Call Saul. This Is Us. It's very uneven, but the latest episode, which amazingly featured not a single white actor, ranks up with the great cable dramas. Try it. It's 43 minutes of your time.
Well, I have tried it. That's the thing. And I didn't see that episode. I know that that was what it's like. It was all Randall episode or whatever it was. I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I have seen it. And it is good. It is probably really good for. It's certainly really, really good for network television. I am a little dubious of shows that are trying to pull my heartstrings so flagrantly as that show. Uh-huh. But I think there's a lot more subtlety on cable for most of the really premium, excellent series. And by premium, I don't mean paying for it, but like high quality. And they do that with a little more subtlety, I think. I can really feel it when This Is Us is trying to make me cry. So that's my only.
A man with a violin steps on screen and begins playing his violin. And all right, just it's not your not to your taste then.
Yeah, I mean it's a fine show though. It is a fine show. Mm-hmm.
All right, the one last letter. This is from Tom, an OG from the 408.
Oh,
and he writes, and this is how you can tell he's OG. Dear Timothy von Gutmann.
Yep, that's...
You were recently bemoaning the fact that there aren't any good TV shows about music and or the music business. Have you had a chance to see Sun Records? And what did you think? I thought the first episode was showed promise. That is Tom in the 408. So Sun Records is on CMT, I want to say.
Yes, on CMT. No, I haven't. I put it, like, I'm putting it in my file of all music things that I need to watch. I will say, though, that of the music critics that I follow who watched it, some of them who are very close to that kind of, you know, what happened at Sun Records and the history there, were kind of underwhelmed. Mm. They were like, yeah, it's good, but it's leaving a lot of stuff out. So, I think it was moving a little too slow and it wasn't as inclusive. That was the feedback I saw, but I myself have not seen it, but it's on my list, my ever expanding list.
It's on the giant list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that does happen. All right. Well, that's, I think, it for this episode, but we will be back next week and we will also be working on a bonus episode for members of the Incomparable. But you can always reach us, email us at podcast@tvtalkmachine.com. You can go to theincomparable.com/TVTM. You can go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/TVTalkMachine. These are all great ways, and you can tweet at us at TVTM. I'm Jay Snell on Twitter, and Tim is Bastard Machine on Twitter. Anything else you want to Columbo me before we go?
I do not.
All right. Well, in that case, have a good weekend, and we'll talk next week.